With Montana News, I'm Eric Whitney. The proposed Flathead Water Compact will come up for a vote in the Montana House tomorrow, but as Steve Jess reports, opponents are trying to put up another roadblock to prevent its passage.
Hours after winning one procedural fight and blasting the controversial Water Compact to the House floor for a vote on Wednesday, backers face another challenge from conservative opponents, who now say it needs a supermajority to pass the House. Speaker Austin Knutson ruled in the opponents' favor.
It's my interpretation that the bill, Senate Bill 262, does purport to give immunity from suit to the state of Montana. Therefore, it is my ruling that this bill requires a two-thirds vote.
Democratic leader Chuck Hunter disagrees. He says it only needs a simple majority, and he claims the state attorney general and history are on his side.
I mean, I think these water compacts, how many of them have been ratified before? Many. Have they ever required a more than majority vote? I don't believe so.
The House Rules Committee will vote on the matter tomorrow morning. So far this session, the full House has overturned every decision from the Rules Committee. The Senate has already passed the compact bill. I'm Steve Jess.
Confederated Salish and Kootenai tribal game wardens killed six bighorn sheep that escaped from the National Bison Range over concerns they could have been exposed to pneumonia. Tribal wildlife manager Dale Becker tells the Missoulian that six young sheep that found a way under the fence surrounding the wildlife refuge were shot last week near Ravalli. Becker says the tribe's policy calls for removing bighorn sheep that have been separated from herds because of the possibility they came in contact with domestic sheep, which can carry pneumonia. A pneumonia outbreak can decimate a wild sheep herd. There are domestic sheep a mile west of the Bison Range. Bison Range project leader Jeff King says the range's bighorn population is close to 190, and that's above its target population. Federal land managers plan a summer roundup of wild horses from Montana's Pryor Mountain Wild Horse Range to curb the size of the herd. The Bureau of Land Management says the majority of the 170 horses on the range near the Wyoming border would be captured. The agency's goal is to remove 30 animals from the population. During past roundups, captured animals have been put up for public auction. The Pryor herd is believed to be descended from horses used by Spanish conquistadors. The BLM is taking comments on its roundup proposal until April 24th. A bill to shine more light on the donors to political campaigns continues to advance at the Montana legislature. The so-called dark money bill was in the House today after previously passing the Senate. Like other controversial bills, it hit roadblocks in the House. Supporters successfully blasted the dark money bill from a House committee and fended off numerous attempts to amend it. It then passed the House today, 51-48. But because the House added one amendment to it, it now goes back to the Senate. The bill's sponsor, Republican Dwayne Ankeny of Colstrip, urged his colleagues to accept that amendment and praised the Senate for how they've handled his bill so far.
Whether you like it or you hate it, there's been civil discussion in this body on this bill, and I truly thank each and one of you, and you have my respect.
The bill faces a third and final vote. If it passes, it goes to the governor for consideration. And Governor Steve Bullock is ramping up fundraising for his 2016 campaign. Although he's not officially declared his candidacy for a second term, the Democrat raised $221,000 during the first 3 months of this year. He raised $318,000 last year. So far, only three little-known candidates have filed papers with the Office of Political Practices to raise money to run for governor. They're Republican Mark Perea of Helena, Independent Christopher Zarcone of Kalispell, and Libertarian Ron Vandevender of Cascade. Vandevender ran for governor in 2012. On Friday, roads to Old Faithful and the Grand Canyon of the Yellowstone in Yellowstone National Park will open. Drivers will be able to enter the park at West Yellowstone starting at 8 a.m., and the park's entrance fee will be waived this weekend. Additional road segments in the park will open during May as road clearing operations progress. The road from the park's north entrance at Gardner to the northeast entrance, Silvergate, and Cook City is open all year. And Glacier National Park reports that 11.5 miles of the Going to the Sun Road is open to car travel now, from the west entrance to Lake McDonald Lodge. Hikers and bikers can use the road for another 10 miles beyond that. State representatives have narrowly endorsed a bill to let residents of small school districts establish their own high schools. Representatives voted 50-49 to preliminarily pass the bill today. School officials from Hellgate, East Helena, and Lockwood Elementary Schools have supported the current bill, as well as a version that failed in 2013. The measure would allow residents in those three districts to vote to split off from the current K-12 districts where their residents attend high school. The larger district's school officials and some representatives in the House have opposed the measure, saying it would exclude voters in Missoula, Helena, and Billings from participating in a decision that could drastically affect them. The proposal faces a vote in the House Appropriations Committee and a final vote in the House. And the Senate Judiciary Committee voted to pass a bill today that would create a 2-year study of the Office of the State Public Defender. UM Legislative News Service's Madeline Beck reports.
Today at the Montana Legislature, the Senate Judiciary Committee voted to pass a bill that would create a 2-year study on the Office of the State Public Defender. This year, legislators discussed and argued about what to do with this office, which is meant to provide lawyers for those who can't afford their own in criminal cases. In 2004, the state faced a lawsuit challenging its old system of funding the office through the counties, shifting the duty to the state. However, after seeing a growth of more than 60% over the last 2 years, public attorneys' massive workload has delayed court cases. Mark Murphy of the Montana County Attorneys Association says the slowing system is causing an even greater prison population because prosecutors are getting more time to prepare their cases.
If you give me enough time, I will produce a pretty good case at the end, and somebody's going to prison.
Nearby Idaho still uses counties to fund their public defenders, but is looking to change its system to avoid the same lawsuit Montana faced. Still others, like Oregon, contract their attorneys out through private groups and nonprofits. The bill's sponsor, Republican Representative Randy Brodell, says a few years of research on top of extra funds this year will hopefully establish a more sustainable model.
They were funded only through the end of the biennium, and we'll need to have a long-term operational budget plan in place to receive funds in the next biennium.
The state budget as it stands now would fund the Office of the State Public Defender to about $32 million for the next 2 years, which is a more than $6 million increase.
A bill that would ban minors in Montana from purchasing electronic cigarettes and nicotine liquid is on its way to the governor's desk. The House cleared the bill by a vote of 72-28 today. The measure includes e-cigarettes, related paraphernalia, and nicotine under the state's definition of tobacco products that people under 18 cannot legally access. It would also require businesses to purchase a $5 license in order to sell the products. Democratic Senator Diane Sands of Missoula brought the bill on behalf of the Montana Attorney General's office. Governor Steve Bullock's administration has supported the bill, making him likely to sign it into law. According to the National Conference of State Legislatures, at least 42 states prohibit the sales of e-cigarettes or vaping alternative tobacco products to minors. The deadline to file state and federal tax returns is fast approaching. Montana Department of Revenue spokeswoman Molly Peterson says anyone needing to file an extension must do so by tomorrow.
And even if you get an extension, you still need to pay by the 15th. So the extension is for filing, not for paying. So you would estimate how much you owed, and you'd need to send in some money by the 15th.
Many people filing tax returns could be in for a big surprise because they forgot, or just didn't know, that they could be fined for not having adequate health coverage. Earlier this year, the U.S. Treasury Department estimated that up to 6 million Americans will have to pay a penalty for going without health insurance last year. As mandated by the Affordable Care Act, Americans who didn't have health coverage last year were subject to a $95 penalty, or 1% of their income, whichever was greater. The uninsured who claimed they weren't aware of the penalty now have until the end of April to get health insurance for next year. 2015's penalty for those without coverage increases to $325, or 2% of their income. A 37-year-old Butte man has been arrested on suspicion of attempted deliberate homicide after police say he fired shots inside his residence when there were children inside. The Montana Standard reports Earl Melvin Rauch is jailed with his bail set at $300,000. No one was hurt in the April 9th incident. Butte Silver Bow County's undersheriff says the man's wife called police at 1 a.m. She'd left the house after an argument about 3 hours earlier, and one of her children called to report that Rauch had fired a gun in the house. Police called the SWAT team, and after some negotiations, Rauch released the children, who range in age from 9 to 15. He then surrendered. Rauch also faces 2 felony criminal endangerment charges and a misdemeanor charge of partner family member assault. I'm Eric Whitney with Montana Public Radio News. Thanks for listening.